And so today, the goal that we're working on are our promises. Now, we've covered some of the promises already, and we're going to keep covering promises. But today, we're going to cover the promise of strength. But in 2 Peter 1:4, it says this, "By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that though these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And we're looking at the precious promises. And I thought, okay, so today is on strength, and we're just going to keep unfolding them. Now, remember, there's over 800 promises in the Bible. In these promises, though, consist of about 12 constant things that are throughout all 800. And so what we're looking at is part of the 12. And today, that is strength. So today we're going to look at strength, the promise of strength. And if we have learned anything about life, we know that we can get tired. Amen. We get weary, we get tired, and then as we look into the world, we get more weary, we get more tired, and it just becomes more frustrating. And people are doing things that we're just not used to seeing. You know, and that just kind of, you know, the Bible says that when we see sin starting to abound, that the people of God will become weary. You know, those who truly love the Lord and hate sin, they become weary. And we're seeing that. So what we want to look at is strength. We need strength because, you know, I talk about leeches, and there's several leeches in this world. I mean, we have spiritual leeches, emotional leeches, financial leeches. We have all kinds of leeches in this world. Well, the leeches that kind of zap us of our strength or make us weary are the leeches of discouragement, doubt, distress, defeat, depression. I think depression is number one today. Dismay, disobedience, and then of course that I got to get up and go back to work, and what am I working for? Because every dime I make goes either into the tank or to buy a loaf of bread. And so we just get weary. And I know you guys are looking at me like, man, get to some good stuff because this is depressing. And it is, I know, but I gotta get to it, right? And but here's what we have to understand, that all these times of discouragement and distress and all this stuff that comes on us, right? It leaves us weak and struggling sometimes. And if we're not careful, we forget that in times of weakness is when God can show us himself the most. But if we get so caught up in being depressed and discouraged, we forget to see God's influence in our life, and we forget to see that he wants to teach us something. And so sometimes we just have to sit back and be patient. And if we're not patient, guys, what do? We make destructive decisions. Anybody here ever just make a really poor decision? Yeah, anybody here ever make a really poor decision, say, like 20 years ago, and you're still living it out today, right? Because sometimes these decisions, man, they don't go away, and they just wear us out. And so if we wait on the Lord and understand that poor choices can be destructive if we're not waiting on Jesus. For example, when Elijah was weary, he became depressed, and he wanted to die. When David was spiritually weak, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he committed murder. And then he just kept consistently kept going downhill with his decisions. When Moses and Jonah was spiritually weak, they ran. Moses went out to another country, and Jonah went to a boat and tried to go to another country. Amen. I mean, listen, when we're tired or we're weak or we're overrun, we can make some really poor decisions. And then when we make these poor decisions, it snowballs. And today's churches, guys, to be quite honest, they're filled with really weak Christians. Weak Christians. And what I mean by weak Christians is feeble, like really weak. And when people say, oh, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I love Jesus. And then I look at their life and I'm going, spiritually, your life is a disgrace to Jesus. Or they don't talk like a Christian, don't act like a Christian, don't look like a Christian, ladies, I mean, praise God, none of you are in here today. I don't know how you dress at home or when you go out when you think nobody's looking. But I know there are some who dress exposing their top, their midriff, and half their bottom. And it's like, and you say you're a Christian? See, what happens, guys, is we become spiritually weak. We make really poor decisions. Really poor decisions. Men, you get spiritually weak. You look at things you shouldn't be. You should be ashamed of what you're looking at. We make really poor decisions. And unfortunately, that is most churches today. But I'm also going to blame some of the pastors, because some of the pastors will not preach on sin. They will not preach on the things that are taking Christians down. All they want to do is preach on feel-good stuff and how much God loves them. And I'll tell you this, God loves you so much that he will strike you down. He loves you that much that he won't let you continue. We even learned that in the scriptures when he tells us in the Bible that if you spare the rod, you hate your child because you don't love them enough to discipline them in the way they should go. So why would he be any different than what he expects from us? Amen. And so these Christians, they live backslidden lives and create confusion in the minds of people that watch them. And then the world thinks that it's just okay to live that way. Last Wednesday, I spoke highly of the Asbury revival. And I thought, wow, this is great. And then the very next day, which would have been Thursday, I read where they are allowing and have for the 90% of the time, they have homosexuals leading the worship. And these homosexuals are posting on social media that they're gay celibate Christians. But they're still walking around like they're gay and acting like they're gay and promoting gay. How can you do that if you love Jesus? Because Jesus hates that. Right? But we see that. And what do we call that? Well, either they're not saved or they're really backslidden. And then our testimony either leads the world to believe that that Christianity is something it is not, which seems to be the case. And then when you decide to live like a real Christian, now you're hated. I mean, it's just a whole thing. And what happens? We just keep getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And I'm telling you, we need the strength of God. We damage our credibility. We damage the credibility of Christ, the way people see him. And that's not what Christ wants for us. If we're to be his ambassadors, then he wants us to fly spiritually high. And so we're going to be looking in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. And just hold off on that passage, if you will, for just a moment. And one of the things that we're going to really look at is the eagle, right? Because in 31, he says you'll be like, you'll mount up with your wings like eagles. Well, we really got to understand eagles, right? And I thought, okay, if we're going to look at how God wants to give us strength, which this is what it's about today, and so all the depressing stuff is out of the way. If we're gonna look at eagles and the strength and mount up our wings like eagles, literally is to soar like an eagle, is what that passage is talking about. If we wait on the Lord, we'll soar like an eagle. And I thought, if we're really going to understand that, we got to understand some things about the eagle. Amen. And so here is a plethora of things about the eagle. The wings of the eagle are absolutely beautiful. I don't know if you've ever seen them fly over, and they're just stretched out, and they're so graceful. When its wings are extended, they have a span of 7 to 7.5 feet. A full-grown eagle is 3.5 feet in height, and of the golden eagle is 3.5 feet in height and has a wingspan of 9 feet. Eagles have about 7,000 feathers on their bodies. The back feathers are as long as the head feathers. Its average weight is about 14 pounds. Pound for pound, the eagle is one of the strongest creatures in the animal kingdom. It's able to catch and carry lambs, small deer, salmon, and small antelope. And if you've ever seen videos, you can go on YouTube where the eagle gets the small ram, or the goat, and he'll come down. He's only 14 pounds, right? But he'll swoop down and get those talons in. And I've seen him pick them up and drag them to the edge of the cliff and let them go. Then they go to the bottom and have dinner. Right? I mean, think about it. And we're talking an animal that's 10 times his size. And so pound for pound, he's one of the strongest creatures in the animal kingdom. An eagle has enough strength in its claws to break the bones in a man's forearm by merely grasping it firmly. Eagles are extremely swift and one of the fastest animals on the planet. On a straight course, he can fly up to 50 miles per hour. When he's swooping down, and I was kind of captivated by some of these facts, amen? And this one's really going to grab you because we all understand speed and the ability to stop on a moment's notice. It says, when he's swooping down upon his prey, he can reach speeds over 100 miles per hour. Yet, at this speed, he can spread his wings and tail, causing an aerial skid and stop within 20 feet. Maybe it's just me, but I'm like, this thing's awesome. I mean, you think, right? Can you picture the eagle just going into that swoop down mode and then all of a sudden right at the bottom, cartoon style? I'm going, man, this is so crazy what an eagle can do. The strength, can you imagine the strength that it takes for him to get his wings out set right, his tail feathers set right, and just bring this thing to a stop at 100 miles per hour? It is amazing to me. It just takes absolutely phenomenal strength to do this. They can fly at extreme heights. Airplane pilots have reported seeing eagles flying at 15,000 feet. And I think to myself, what a magnificent creature that God has created. And then he challenges us or says that he will make us like the eagle. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to fly 50. Like, don't nobody go to an edge of a building or a cliff and say, well, Pastor said God's making us like eagles. And we go, but you can't fly. It just gives us a picture of strength and that we can have the strength and the agility, spiritually speaking, like the eagle. And so, guys, I want to encourage you today because I know people are weary. Last week we talked about joy, and then this week is strength. And I think we need the promises of God more than ever. There's so many sitting here today, you're hurting, and some of the hurts I know about, and some of you are hurting, and I have no clue about your life and how you're hurting. But every one of us are fighting battles that just seem to be out of reach of victory, but they're not. And that's why I want to focus on the promises of God for the next several weeks. Because if we forget the promises of God, we're going to live in defeat. And remember what I said last week, Satan wants to do nothing more. Because remember, he's the thief. And what does he want to do? What does he want to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can steal our joy, he wins. That's the beginning of our downfall. Then if he can steal our strength and make us appear like we have no chance of victory, we give up. And then he wins again. And so these promises of God, guys, if we don't get these, and that's why I'm parked on them, if we don't get these, we will live a defeated life. We will. I mean, there's just no way to get around it. And so I want you to see how God has challenged us to spiritually soar. And he says, I'm going to give you strength. Look here in, you should be in Isaiah here, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator. By the way, as we go through this, guys, look at the description of God. Right? Because if he's going to say, I'm going to give you strength, if he's going to say, I'm going to help you soar like an eagle, if he's saying, listen, I'm going to give you victory, I'm going to give you all of this stuff, if he's going to proclaim that, the reason I went to 28, because really it's in 31 where he says, if we wait on the Lord, right? But it starts in 28. It actually starts before that, but I'm only going to go to 28 or else I'll never get the sermon done. You guys know if I pick too much, I can't go too far. Amen. So it's one of those things I'm working on. You would think after 17 years I would get it, but I'm slow. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And so we establish first off, because you know, we get tired. We absolutely get tired for a multitude of reasons. We get tired, but listen, God neither faints and he doesn't get weary. 24/7, he's on it. He is on call. And I'll tell you, empires, and I've just put some things down here that I thought was really interesting. Empires have risen, have fallen, and been forgotten, but he still lives. Amen. Kings have been crowned, uncrowned, and laid to rest, but he still lives. Storms of hate rage against the Lord, but he still lives. The venom of atheists have railed against God. Agnostics have smiled cynically against him. Yet, he still lives. And the reason is because he's everlasting. Guys, there won't be a funeral for the Lord. Amen? I'm just telling you, there won't be a funeral for the Lord, man, because he has no beginning, he has no ending, he is forever. It's the only thing that we know that we can trust and depend on is the Lord. I found it interesting, though, you know, they tried to get rid of the Lord, right? 2,000 years ago, they tried to bury the Son of God, only for him to raise 3 days later. Can't stop him. Amen? The power of the Lord is seen in that he's the creator, and we saw that in the verse, but look here in Colossians 1:14 through 17. And remember, Scripture just confirms Scripture. And so Isaiah says that he's the creator of all. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. This is talking about Jesus specifically. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And it doesn't matter. Listen, I'm telling you, God is in control and he has everything. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And so if we're going to look and say, okay, Lord, we need strength, the whole passage here that in Isaiah that starts out is he's just laying the groundwork of who God is and how we can trust him, how we can wait on him, and how he has the ability to renew our strength. And so this whole groundwork is being laid, and I'm just going to tell you, okay, I love it, and hopefully you do too. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is referencing Jesus again. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And so remember, Isaiah starts out with, he's the creator. He's the creator. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of earth. He is the creator. He does not faint. He doesn't grow weary. As a matter of fact, he is on call 24 hours a day. Amen. Go to the Lord. He's there 24 hours a day. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. Now, sometimes we feel like he does, huh? Amen. How many times have you prayed and you're like, Lord, are you not hearing me? And again, those are those times where we just have to wait and trust on the Lord. He does not, he is on call 24 hours a day, does not require a nap. He does not need a B12 shot. I love those B12. Okay, anyway, if you've never had one, don't get one. All right. And it's not a shot. It's a little, okay, never mind. It's just a drink. He has no need for Red Bull energy drinks. If you don't know, those rot your brain. And he does not grow weary or faint. And so God's power is always and always will be. And there's no limit to his wisdom. And we read about God's wisdom, and he says if we ask for that, we can get that. There's no searching of his understanding. His IQ cannot be measured. He cannot be outwitted, outfoxed, or outsmarted. And the depth of his wisdom. I was reading this. It said the roots of science, mathematics, history, biology, astronomy, anatomy, and chemistry are all found in God. He has no limits. He is the source of life. And by the way, because he is the source of life, he can help us solve all of our problems. Amen. God doesn't solve our problems because we don't give them to him or we don't trust him to solve our problems. And then look here in Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the weak. And those who have no might, he increases strength. Most people live in their lives defeated, most Christians, because if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't draw from this. This is only for those who have given their life to Jesus Christ, who are born again, saved, and no longer the world's, but the Lord's. Amen? And he says, and those who have no might, he increases strength. He gives power to the weak. Most people live defeated lives because they don't believe this. And your life shows it. James says, if you doubt, you're like the waves of the sea. God won't answer any of your prayers. And so, guys, I'm just going to tell you, if you really want to grab hold of this, God says it's yours. It's all yours. I'll give you all of it. I'll take care of you. But you got to believe. You got to believe. You have to believe. And it starts with believing in Jesus Christ. And then you got to live like you believe. Lord, I believe, but put that on the shelf. I got some things I want to live out first. That's typically what we do, either consciously or not. It's what we do. Amen. But he gives power to the faint. He helps us. Listen, I tell people all the time, and I know it caused a little bit of an issue with some, because I said with anxiety, that's not of the Lord. And so you don't need medicine for anxiety and so on and so forth. And I've had people go, Pastor, you don't understand. Listen, I appreciate it. You are where you are. God bless you. I love you. This isn't a slam on anyone. But the Lord says, be anxious for nothing. And so if we live in anxiety where we got to take medication, are we really trusting God? And are we listening to God? And are we anxious for nothing? Or are we like, Lord, I believe you for all things, but you can't take away my anxiety. And then we live in this anxious world. And that's sometimes what happens. And God's like, listen, I'll give you the strength. I'll give you power when you're weak. But if we don't believe, then God says, why should I give you anything? You don't believe it anyway. You're not expecting it. And I think when we have an expectation from the Lord, that changes everything. Amen? And so no matter what the cause, he can keep us going. Look here in Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. By the way, this passage here was my second sermon I ever preached on was this passage. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Guys, here's my question for you. Do you really believe this? Like, no, listen, wake up. Wake your neighbor up. Everybody wake up. Some of you are just drifting off on me. If I'm boring, amen, but the word of God's not, and you need to hear this. This is why people are walking out of here defeated. This is why people are living defeated, because when it comes to the word of God, we ain't got no time. We can't even stay awake. But we got no problem watching Netflix. We got no problem surfing the internet. We got no problem with Facebook. We got no problem with TikTok. We got no problem with computers. We got no problem with phones. But we come into the house of God and we want to sleep like we got to make up time because we didn't make time. Pastors all around the country, all around the world, put 20 hours of learning and investing time so that we can feed you, and all you want to do is come in here and go to sleep. I got a ton of other things I could do than to keep pouring hours and hours and hours to feed the flock that don't want to eat. Just sit up straight and listen. It's frustrating. We're living in a world that's sinking. And Christians don't care. They're part of pulling the plug of the boat and watch it sink. Get mad at God because you're not getting what you want. Well, God says, I'll give you if, I'll do when. You got to do things. God says, here it is, but you got to adjust your life. You want the strength of God? Sit up. Is it too warm in here? Buck, go open a door. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm just thinking, this is gold. It doesn't matter. It's gold. I talked about backslidden Christians. Talked about Christians that don't care. This is why we are where we are, guys. Christians leave here and they're silent. Just silent. Watch their loved ones die and go to hell. We're silent. God's like, listen, I'm telling you how you can be strengthened by the Lord. I'm giving you promises of God. And all some of you can do is sleep. No matter what the cause, he can keep us going. Psalm 18:2. I read that. Thank you. Psalm 118:14. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. And just park it right here. When is the last time the Lord has been your strength and song? See, you know why people sing? It's usually because there's joy in their heart. When was the last time God has been your song? Where you have just sang unto the Lord and praised the Lord. When was the last time? Guys, I'm just telling you, if we get this attitude, then the world can't touch us. I mean, physically, they might try to push us down, but spiritually, we'll be so high like the eagle that they can't touch us. And that's what I want you to grab today. The strength of the Lord is a promise. It's interesting because the first U.S. coin to bear the inscription "In God We Trust" was a 2-cent piece minted in 1864. The idea for having a motto originated with a Pennsylvania preacher who suggested it to Salmon Portland Chase, Secretary of the Treasury under Abraham Lincoln. Chase, a devoted, God-fearing man, asked James Pollock, director of the Mint, to come up with appropriate words. In a letter to him, Chase wrote this: "No nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in his defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins." And so the motto, "In God We Trust," was born. And guys, I'm telling you, no individual can be strong except for in the strength of God. And no individual can be safe except in his defense. And so as a Christian, And our nation was founded, right, on God and our money and God we trust, because we understood that if we needed his strength, we needed him. And if we were going to be safe, we needed him. And do you understand that our country had never had an attack on our, we've never been attacked on our land. Now we did have Pearl Harbor, and then we had the Twin Towers. But the Lord has kept this country safe and protected this country. But that was when this country put God first. That was when we went to him in song. That was when we went to him in prayer. That was when we knew that without him we could do nothing. And he kept us safe. Our whole country. Today we spit in his face, and what do we have today? We got shootings everywhere, stabbings everywhere. It's nasty everywhere. Everywhere. Why? Because we're constantly kicking God out. And what I really found interesting was people will tell me, Pastor, religion and politics don't mix. Don't bring politics into the church. And Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. And I'm like, do you not understand that if we don't have an influence in, we can't move it toward God? And therefore, if we don't have an influence in politics and we're setting back, we're allowing the world to dictate what goes on. Do you think that they're going to preserve the church? Do you think they're going to do the things of God? Praise Jesus. We got people in politics that will stand and have the strength of God to stand for what is right, to continue to protect us in this country as long as it has. And so when we're talking strength, guys, and you're like, because why? What's coins got to do with strength? No, it wasn't the coin. It was the idea behind putting in God we trust on the money, because they understood if this country was going to be strong, it had to be God first. And we had to trust in God. And it's never changed as individuals, guys. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, if we're going to stand firm, if we're going to stop being hypocrites in the world, if we're going to change kids' lives and help them to grow up understanding there is a God, you realize we got a nation of kids that are clueless and have no clue God even exists? And you know why? Because the parents quit teaching. Do you know why? Because their parents quit teaching. Do you know why? Because their parents quit teaching. And then we don't believe that God can deliver us. We don't believe in the strength of God. We come to church for what? To sleep? Or do we come to learn and to grow and to be strengthened? Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and come together even more when you see the day, capital D, approaching, meaning the rapture. And what are we to come together for? To exhort one another, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to do what? To go out and do the work of an evangelist. That's what the scriptures say. And then we sacrifice church. We sacrifice the Lord. We get mad, and the first thing we let go is God. Second thing we let go is the church and the house of God and the people of God, because they're all the problems. We forget that's the solution, and that's the beginning of our strength is the Lord. And the people of God, we come together to do what? To encourage and strengthen one another and to stand next to one another. I'm telling you, the reason we're in trouble is because people are sleeping, not only in here, but they're sleeping out there, and they're sleeping in other churches. They're spiritually sleeping with no regard for the destruction going on around them. And that's why we are in the situation that we are in. I wanted this to be a happy, feel-good message, but apparently that didn't go well. Isaiah verse 40, chapter 40, verse 30, he continues to address the issue of weakness. And he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know, the young are not always strong. And of course, we see little children, and so my daughter and son-in-law bring over my grandbaby, and we'll watch her every now and then. And of course, she gets in the house, and now she's getting to the point where so she's 10 months old today, I think, right? And she is like full of energy. To the point where my daughter, who actually turns 24 today, who is 24 today, Tori, right? She's like, this kid don't stop. And I'm like, wait until you have your own. No, I just changed my mind. Because little babies, man, they go and go and go and go. Amen. Then we're like, oh my goodness. Can you imagine if they bottled up all that energy like a 2-year-old and these kids go, 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 go. All that. If we could bottle that energy and what we could do with it. Oh my goodness. Put them on a treadmill. Make them create electricity. I mean, we could listen. We could change the world with the energy of the youth. Bless you. Thank you. But, you know, even the young men get exhausted and they stumble and stagger. They struggle because the truth is, guys, there's no supermen. And the Lord allows the times of weakness in our lives so that we would depend on him more. Amen. Look here in 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, Paul says this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And what he's talking about is when I am weak in the Lord, when I'm surrendered to God, then I have the strength to do anything. And if you guys remember, we were talking about Paul when he was in the Philippian jail. I mean, he had all good reason to just be distressed and distraught. But what did he do? He was writing letters and singing unto the Lord and leading people to Jesus. Why? Well, because he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of God, and he allowed God to work in his life. And that was his priority. And he says, listen, I take pleasure in troubles because that's when I see my God the most, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, when it's for Christ's sake. Because that's when I see him. Last week, I talked about joy. And the reason that most people don't have joy, or Christians don't, because joy is only of the Lord. The world can't give you joy. The world gives us happiness. God gives us joy. Joy is within. It comes from the Lord, the Bible says. And if we look at everything as a problem that can't be defeated, our joy is gone. And then we start acting that way. We start acting defeated. And I'm just telling you, God says, I give you joy, and then I give you strength to go with the joy. And I give you the Holy Spirit, that if you allow him to do work in your life, man, you listen, it doesn't matter. You could be sitting in prison, but I'll give you a pen and a pad, and I'll bring the memory of song to your mind. And you can win people to Jesus there too. Listen, I'm telling you, we only lose what we give away. And so if we lose our joy, it's because we gave it away. If we lose our strength, it's because we didn't ask for it and we don't believe in getting it. And if we live a defeated life, it's because we're not trusting God and all of his promises. And then we live like there's no God. Jesus says, your lips confess me, but your heart is far from me. And so, guys, I'm just telling you, if we're gonna be like the eagle and we're gonna have the strength and we're gonna soar with the Lord, we gotta believe, and then we have to adjust our lifestyle. So we got invited to dinner one time. This has been many, many years ago. And they said, when they invited us, they said, John, you're Italian. I go, yeah. So I'm Italian and Indian. My mom was Italian and Cherokee Indian, and my dad was German, so I'm Italian, Indian, and German, forgive me. And so I go, yeah, man, my mom's full-blown Italian, last name Pizzaferrato. My grandfather came over on a boat. He knew how to, and then swing the foot. I mean, he knew all of that, right? He was straight-up Italian. And she's like, great, I'll make lasagna. Now I'm going, lasagna. Right? Who doesn't like lasagna? And so I'm like, man, I'm in lasagna. You can't even mess up lasagna. You put a bed of noodle, a bed of sauce, a bed of cheese, a bed of beef, and then you put another bed of noodles, and you just repeat history until you're at the top. Throw it in an oven, turn it on 350, and hang out. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, listen, who doesn't love lasagna? Comes out of the oven. We sat down to eat. I got a piece of lasagna. That's all I'm going to tell you. Took a big old bite of it, and my whole body went, without trying to let it show. Now my excitement's gone. Now I'm eating this out of duty. Have you ever been there? You're like, oh man, they were so gracious and so excited to have us over. Okay, Lord, give me strength. This has now become endurance. And so then I said, so what's your recipe? What did you put in here? Who would be curious of that? And she was like, oh, this is my mom's recipe. And she just adds that one little thing that's different. I went, ooh. What is that one little thing? Chili powder. Right? And so you can take the most amazing thing ever and with one little thing, destroy it. And so that's what we do with the Lord, right? We take the most amazing thing ever, and then we decide to add our own little thing into the recipe, and we destroy it. Chili powder. I don't even put chili powder in chili. But that's what we do, right? And so if we're not careful, guys, if we're not careful, then we can take and pull ourselves away from the most greatest thing ever. And then we miss God's strength. And I'm just telling you, God's like, I want to give all this to you. But if you decide to put your own recipe in getting it, you're not going to get it. You know, that happened with Cain and Abel, right? God's like, this is the tithe. This is the offering that I want. Abel brings an offering that is what God expected, what God asked for. And Cain brings his own idea. And then when Abel is like praised by God and Cain isn't, Cain gets really mad at Abel. And then what does Cain do to Abel? He kills him. And guys, that's what happens when we don't do it God's way, but we expect what God has to offer. We cannot add our own thing. We have to do it God's way. And you have to wait on God. You have to trust God. And he's like, listen, I will give you the strength. Look here in 40:31. In 40:31, this is the Lord's recipe. But those who wait on the Lord, stop. This is the recipe. Don't add anything else to it. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. Well, it's just not happening fast enough. God, you're so slow. Literally. Right? Isn't that what we do? And then we get frustrated, and then we run ahead. We got to do it ourselves, right? Kids, you understand this, and adults, you understand it because you were kids before. And so the parents would tell you, this is what I want. This is what it looks like, blah, 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 blah. And all we heard was blah, 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 blah. And God says, listen, do you want to renew your strength? Do you want to be strong? Wait on me. Wait on me. That's the recipe. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Don't be quick to jump and run. And so the verse states that if we're weak and we're without strength, if we want that, it only comes if we wait on the Lord. And today, waiting, are you kidding me? Nobody can wait. Listen, that can be difficult, right? But God urges us to wait. Look here in Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And if you look here, this, I can say, wait, you say, on the Lord. That's not what he says. He's like, wait, I say, on the Lord. Exclamation point. Get excited when you read this and you see that. If you see a period, you read it right. If you see an exclamation point and you read it like you're sleeping, go back and reread it because he's excited here. He's emphatic and he's saying, wait on the Lord if this is what you want. Guys, this, we got to wait. We have to wait. Look here in Psalm 25:3. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. But, and there's no but there, but I think there should be a but. But let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Let those be ashamed who don't wait. Wait, wait, wait on the Lord. Look here in Psalm 33:20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And so, guys, when we capture who God is and what he wants to give us, it becomes easier for us to wait on him if we love him and we trust him. But we won't love and trust him if we don't know his word. They all fit together, and one cannot exist without the other. And the problem with most Christians today, and the reason they're backsliding and they're not waiting and they're living foolishly, is because they don't know the word of God. You think because you hear Joel Osteen spew good, encouraging blah, that you know the Bible. You don't. You have to read the Bible, because Joel don't even know the Bible. And you say, why are you calling him out by name? Because when I get to chapter 2, he's one of the false teachers I'm going to be talking about. I'm just saying, guys, if you have to read the Word of God to know the Word of God, to know God, to trust God. And none of it happens apart from the other. It just, it won't. Listen, I do know this. Waiting on the Lord can cause a lot of emotions, right? A variety of emotions. Someone has said, waiting is not just a thing we have to do until we get what we hope for. Waiting is the process of becoming what we hope for. Wait on the Lord. I think that's the reason God said wait, because he understood and he knew. There's things to be learned while we wait on God that can't be learned any other time until the time of waiting. And so we're compared to, and I'm jumping ahead because I just see the clock, we're compared to the eagle. And Isaiah told us that if we wait upon the Lord, we will mount up wings as eagles. And so in the Bible, believers are compared, by the way, let me jump that. Believers are compared to several different things in the Bible. And we're compared to lions. In Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. Why? Because the righteous is implicit to the fact that people waited. They knew God, trusted God. God empowers them, and now they're bold as a lion. The righteous aren't people, are not the ones who say, I believe in Jesus. The righteous are the ones who live like they believe in Jesus. There's a difference here. And so they're bold as a lion. Look here, we're compared to trees. Psalm 1:3. Says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, this tree, if you look up this passage in Psalm 1, it's talking about the cedar tree. What's up with a cedar tree? It has deep roots. It cannot be uprooted easily. It is also consists of the bark and everything that's on it. Bugs won't eat it, like sin won't eat the righteous man. You understand what I'm saying? So when he talks about the tree, be like a tree, it really is referencing the cedar tree and the fact that bugs can't penetrate it. The righteous man, sin can't penetrate. Amen. We're planted by the rivers of water because we're living in the Lord and his word. We're steeped in Christ. That brings forth its fruit in its season. Once we mature and God's ready, he'll move us and use us to do many things, whose leaf also shall not wither. Listen, Satan's not going to have control over us. He's not going to have power over us. We're going to have strength, and so we won't wither. We won't be weak. And then look here. And whatever he does shall prosper. These are promises of God. Man, if you're not, listen, if this don't excite you, your exciter is broke. That's all I'm going to tell you. We're compared to sheep. Look here in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Okay, this one isn't the best for us, but we're compared to sheep. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're compared to eagles, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Eagles are mentioned 34 times in the Bible. And the earliest of times, eagles have been symbols of strength, bravery, courage, independence, and a symbol for the Lord Exodus 19:4, and I only got one other verse and I'm done. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I carried you on eagle's wings. You guys got the idea of eagle's wings and the span of eagle's wings, the strength of eagle's wings, the height that an eagle can fly. I'm telling you, eagle's wings are amazing. And he says, I brought you on eagle's wings to myself. So the eagle has great strength and reminds us to be strong. And then Paul told us, and this is my last verse, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, appropriate verse, last verse, amen. Finally, my brethren, to the Christian only, nobody else. This does not go for anybody but believers in Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And Paul wouldn't say that if it weren't possible. And all these other passages tell us how possible it is for us to stay strong and walk the walk, talk the talk, and glorify Jesus. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Father, thank you for your word, your promises, Father. We need strength. Lord, in a world that's just trying to dominate, Father, we need strength to stand for you. We don't have to dominate the world, Father. We just have to be strong in you, to be available in you, Father, to be used through you. Father, I pray that you would give us strength. But Father, more than anything, I pray that we would believe that you want to give us strength. Your promises tell us you want to give it to us. Your promises tell us it's part of what we receive when we trust in Jesus, Father, and we receive the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, my prayer is that Christians today believe. That once they believe in Jesus, Father, they give their life, surrender all to Jesus. Then, Father, we become like the tree planted by the rivers of water. And Father, we take your recipe. We don't add in our own, thinking your ingredients aren't good enough. But Father, we wait. We just wait on you. Father, we wait on you that you do great and amazing things. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. None of these promises and the promise today does not extend to you. It is not until you give your life to Jesus Christ and believe unto him as the Lord of your life, Savior of the world, say your Savior, that you can start receiving these promises and be strengthened by the Lord. And so, if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, then I want you to pray this prayer. But now listen, the words aren't magical. The prayer just gives you a timestamp where you can go, this day I made a conscious decision on purpose to give my life to Jesus Christ because I believe he died on the cross for my sins and he's the only way to heaven and he conquered death and hell. That's all the prayer is. It's just a timestamp. There's no magic in the words. There's no magic in the prayer. Life changes because in your heart of hearts, you believe what you're about to pray. And so if you wish to give your life to Jesus Christ, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you pray this prayer, understanding that if you don't believe it in your heart of hearts, don't waste your time because the words don't mean anything. But if you mean it in your heart, quietly to yourself, you pray. Jesus, today I surrender all. I believe you died on the cross. I believe that you conquered the grave And I believe that you're at the right hand of the Father. I believe you're the only way to heaven. There is no other. I believe your word when it says, if I believe unto you, I am born again. Today, I believe unto you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life today. Forgive me of all my sin, all the wrong I've ever done. Wash me white as snow. And then guide me as I live to please you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you prayed that prayer because you believed in your heart that what you prayed was true, and you gave your life to Jesus, will you raise your hand so I can rejoice with you? Today, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I believed unto Him as my Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've allowed the world to make me weary, and I just need the strength of the Lord, pray for me. If that's you, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, I just pray that for those who are struggling, Father, for those who are weak, Lord, for those that Satan has seemed to get a hold of or is trying to pull down, Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen them, Father. Father, give them the strength of eagle's wings. Lord, then I pray that as they are strengthened and renewed, that you would use them to bring you honor and glory, Father, that they will defeat the devil and those which are trying to take over their life, Father. Deliver them, strengthen them, and then use them. Lord, I thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.